Doctor Who, Rose, Disc 3. Chapter 10, Inside the Box. She ran into a cavern. She ran into a vault. She ran into a cathedral. She ran into a huge space, a vast dome, with the Doctor standing at its centre, the grinning lord of an impossible realm. It was like being plunged underwater, the sudden pressure in her head, and Rose thought simply, no, and ran back out again, into the yard, the same old yard, with Headless Mickey still chopping away at the fire door. She looked back at the blue box. She'd left the door open and she could see, in the gap between door and jamb, that huge, strange space reaching far beyond, with the Doctor somehow in the distance, a small figure, a good 20 metres away, and yet within a box that stood beside her, no deeper than a metre in itself. Headless Mickey began to kick away the last of the wood. But she had to run around the box, a full circle, counting all four corners, 1, 2, 3, 4, but no, it was a straightforward, solid box. No tricks, no traps, but how? Wham! The final scraps of fire door went flying and the Headless Mickey staggered into the yard, shovel blade hands flailing as it blundered murderously towards her. There was nothing else she could do. She ran back inside the box. She slammed the door shut and then stayed facing it because that was easier than looking at the space behind her. She flinched as she heard Headless Mickey reach the doors and hit them. The flimsy wood, painted white on the inside, shuddered and yet, that was all. A simple shudder. The noise from outside was muffled and distant. The assembled hordes of Genghis Khan couldn't get through that door, said the Doctor. And believe me, they've tried. Okay, she thought. Now I've got to turn around. So she did. The Doctor's blue box was bigger on the inside than on the outside. Much bigger. Hugely so. She was standing on a metal ramp surrounded by curved walls, arching upwards, studded with hexagons. What she thought was a dome was more of a sphere. She could look down, through the metal mesh at her feet, to see the curve completing far below in one vast circle. The whole interior was weathered, rusting, bruised, and yet humming with life, as though huge engines were brooding somewhere beyond the walls. The skin of the sphere was supported by weird buttresses, shaped like coral? Yes. She could smell ozone, like the seaside, though this was a coral glowing with internal light. The metal ramp at her feet was part of a suspended walkway leading to the centre of the sphere, to the Doctor. He stood in front of a sculpture, a coral mushroom out of which a glass pillar containing tubes of light soared up to the roof and down to the depths, like a linchpin holding the entire globe together. The Doctor had his arms folded, feet set apart in a classic pose of masculine supremacy, looking down at her. And yet the most important thing was this. The Doctor had a copy of her boyfriend's head plugged into the sculpture. He'd attached wires to run from Mickey's forehead to a panel below. The head was still alive, eyes darting from the Doctor to Rose. "You must have a lot of questions," said the Doctor to Rose. The Mickey head answered instead.
Not really. Seen all this before. Seen better than this. You lot brought a war crashing down on our civilization. Do you think we don't remember?
The Doctor lost his tough guy pose, muttered a quick sorry, and leapt to the sculpture. It was more of a desk, really. A work desk. A cluttered circular console that hadn't been tidied for years. He stabbed buttons and pulled a big red lever.
Hold on a tick. We don't need laughing, boy.
Mickey's head said,
I'm going to do more than...
But then he froze and his eyes glazed over, reduced to inanimate plastic.
Right, where were we?
Said the Doctor, and returned to that superior folded arms position, facing Rose. She stared at him. He stared back. Rose controlled her breathing. Calm down. Don't lose it. She looked up at the vaulted roof, back at the wooden doors, down to the depths below, back up to the Doctor, and that shaft of shining glass at the heart of the room. Where to start? She thought of Clive. Clive and his long-dead dad. Clive who'd give anything to be here right now, and she was glad she'd met him. Perhaps he'd prepared her a little. So, it's bigger on the inside, she said. Yes, said the Doctor. It's alien. Yes.
She took a deep breath. Are you alien?
Yes.
But then he added, is that all right? A kindness in his voice. That pose, she thought, the folded arms, the boots, the frown, that's just striking an attitude. He's more than that. She said, I'm fine, yeah, and tried to smile.
It's called the TARDIS, he said. This thing, it's an acronym.
TARDIS. It stands for time and relative dimension in space.
And then Rose burst into tears. She was ashamed, but couldn't help it, the whole thing surging up inside her. Sorry, she gulped. I'm sorry.
But he was weird, this doctor. Kind one minute, and yet when she cried, he stared like a scientist considering an ant. Culture shock, he said, almost like he was glad. Natural reaction for a human. It does your head in seeing technology like this.
He was arrogant, he was alien, and he was an idiot.
I'm thinking of Mickey, not you, she said, furious. Did they kill him? If they copied him, did they kill him? Is he dead?
Oh, said the doctor, crestfallen. I didn't think of that.
You didn't think? He's my boyfriend and they copied him and you didn't even think. You just waltzed in and pulled off his head. Like it's funny and now you're just going to let him melt.
Melt? The doctor followed her eyeline to see Mickey's head melting into a plastic ooze, sinking down into the desk.
Rose sobbed out loud like she was seeing him die. No, 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 yelled the doctor, and he started stabbing buttons like a madman.
Rose ran up the walkway. It clattered and shook. This place felt like it had been bolted together in a hurry. To give the doctor a shove.
Save him, she said,
the head suddenly so precious.
I'm trying, said the doctor, flicking a row of blue glass switches,
but the head lost its integrity, spreading out into a thick, sticky pool. One of Mickey's eyeballs remained, the one that had fallen into the soup, to give them a final tomatoey glare, and then it dissolved.
He's gone, said Rose.
Not quite, said the doctor. He ran around the console, eyes bright like a mad musician, trying this button, that button, any button. Rose looked closer. The desk had six sides, full of control panels, some sophisticated, some antique, with levers improvised out of bottle openers and hammers, paperweights in place of dials, toy soldiers and scissors and curling tongs duct taped to switches to hold them down. Designed by a mad geek wizard child, she thought. Whatever this place once was, the doctor has pimped it. He worked feverishly, but glanced at her every now and then. It occurred to her, he's loving this. He's just waiting for me to ask what he's doing. So she didn't. She wiped her eyes and stood there. The doctor blinked first. He said, I'm trying to track the signal. There might still be a trace. From the head to whoever's controlling it. Okay, she said. But when she thought of the head, she thought of Mickey, and she had to hold back that horror. She was inside an alien sphere with a man from another world, and she had to concentrate on getting out of here alive. She could grieve for Mickey later, but not now.
So, who are you? What sort of alien?
Doesn't really matter, he said, and kept working.
It does to me.
You must have a name. A species.
I said it doesn't matter.
Then why won't you tell me? He ignored her, picking up two pieces of equipment, a bicycle pump and a trim phone, and wiring them together.
So this TARDIS, is this like your home? I mean, is this where you live?
No, not really. I'd much rather go outside. I just bonk down in here now and then.
What, do you take it with you then?
Wherever you go. Has it got wheels or something? You'd be surprised. She looked down the walkways, three of which disappeared through dark arches set into the walls, leading off to God knows where.
And is it just you? Are there more of you? Have you got a team or staff?
No reply. He kept working.
She said, why are you such hard work?
I had a bad day.
No worse than mine.
He looked up, eyes blazing. No, I had a very bad day. I had the worst day of all. I lost everything. I lost everyone. I lost myself. In one single moment gone. And I've survived since then very nicely,
without a little human standing at my side going, yap, 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 so if you don't mind, shut up. She was outraged. You wanted me to ask questions. I did not. You did, you love it. But then he suddenly yelled, gotcha, and slammed down a row of levers. The entire room lurched, like a ship in a storm, an enormous storm, the entire sphere pitching at 45 degrees. Rose grabbed hold of the desk. The doctor was already holding on tight, grinning, and then the whole internal space rolled back in the opposite direction. Then it swung back again, tilting so radically that the desk became almost vertical. Rose holding onto it like a climbing wall, the pillar of light above her swooping down to the horizontal, before everything tilted left, and then violently right. It was like being trapped in the middle of a gyroscope. And the air was filled with that noise she'd heard back on the estate, that deep, aching, echoing grind, rising and falling, but massive now, like metal wailing in pain. The doctor yelled with excitement, "We're following the signal!" Rose held on tight, wondering what the hell this looked like from the outside, in the yard of that pizzeria. Was the blue box rocking to and fro, on the spot, like some stupid toy? Then the doctor yelled, "No!" He had a rubber mallet in his hand. It was chained to the console, standard kit for him, and he battered the desk, bang, bang, bang. But whatever he was doing, it was too late. "Lost it," he groaned, and the seesawing stopped. The huge sphere settling to a halt, the grinding noise echoing away. "I lost the signal," said the doctor. "But we must be close." And he raced down the walkway to the wooden door, yanked it open and ran out. Rose yelled, "You can't go out there, it's not safe." The headless Mickey killer shovel hands were still outside in the yard. The doctor would get chopped to death. She ran down the ramp and hurtled outside.